Open to the book of Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And I want to look at this scripture. You might want to move my antenna around there just a tad, Brother Mike. Psalm 34. Wiggle it around or something. This is 911. 9/11. Somebody said them terrorists planned it on that day. I don't know if they even know enough to do that. But anyway, that's when it happened. And so I want to use that thought this morning in Psalm 34 and verse 6. Psalm 34, verse 6. Everyone look at Psalm 34, verse 6. Bible said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Man, I like that verse. It didn't say a rich man cried, or an important man cried, or a great man cried, just poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. I want to preach this morning on the subject, a spiritual 911 call. 4 years ago today, life as we know changed in this country, in the world. Ever since then, we've been in a war, what they say, a war on terrorism. And terrorists, you hear it all the time, just about get tired of hearing it all the time. But on that day, the calls went in, 911. And 911 is, of course, the phone number that is to be used in a crisis, a time of emergency. We are no doubt living in times like that. Just wiggle them around, move that box around or something. They ain't getting right. Look, thousands of times each day, that number is called, 911. We have had bus kids just call it just to be cutting up, and they got about that. But anyway, people call that number when there's car wrecks, plane crashes, fires. When there's domestic violence, people have heart attacks, and people call that number, 911. They say, help. And have you ever watched one of those shows on TV where they call it something like 911 or something like that? And what they'll have, and you'll say, this is an actual recording. And they'll say, hello? Please, can you help me? This has happened. My husband's had a heart attack, or something terrible's happened at my house. And this person on the other line, on the end of that line, starts getting information. Now, wait a minute. Tell me where you are. And they'll say, I live over on such and such a street. So, now, wait a minute now. Give me all the information. And she's already dispatching an ambulance over, or the police, to that while she's getting this information. And a lot of times if a kid calls that line, they'll always say, now, stay on the line. Don't hang up. Have you heard them say that? Stay on the line. Don't hang up. And they want to keep communication with that person while the emergency, the vehicles are on their way to their house. Say, well, I live here at 306 Carbon City Road. Okay, honey, the ambulance is on the way right now. Now look at your daddy. Can he speak? Don't hang the phone up. See if your daddy can speak. They get down. Daddy, are you all right? Honey, is he moving? Can you feel like he's breathing? Don't hang the phone up. Keep on the line. Keep on the line. Keep on the line. Keep on the line. And they make that person stay on that line until help finally gets there. This morning, I'm going to talk about a spiritual 911 call. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a crisis. We are in an emergency situation in this country. Churches are in an emergency. Homes are in an emergency. There's never been a time when we needed help from God like we do now. And brother, it's about time that we as God's people got on this altar and dialed up heaven and said, hey, Lord! Help us, Lord, and stay on the line until help comes. Amen? We got camp meeting coming up. We've got a generation of boys and girls that need God. Kids on drugs, homes breaking up. I've got a phone call this morning, of a young man who is not probably even 15 years old. I got two phone calls this morning That young man, not 15 years old. They said, "Oh, Brother Danny, pray for him. Pray for him." Said he's out last night with a bunch of boys, and they all started, they want to get drunk. That's all they see on TV. So they say, "Let's get drunk." That's what they want to do. They got drunk. This boy, went into a shock and a coma. He's in the hospital this morning, and they don't even know if he's going to make it. This morning, right now, that family's in an emergency. That family's right now, there's families over there in the hospital, in the emergency room, with kids that overdosed on drugs last night. They need help. But I'm going to tell you this morning, you may not see it, but churches this morning need help. People, families sitting right here in this church today. There's people sitting right here. If God don't help you, you're not going to be helped at all. If God don't do something in your life, there's hope. Some of you right here this morning, there's no hope for your marriage. If God don't come and help you. And you know what me and you need to get along? Do? It's 911. It's 911. Let's ring the bells of heaven and say, "God, help us this morning until help finally gets here." Now, I'm telling you something this morning. I am a believer in prayer. I know God answers prayer. I know the Lord's heard me. I know it can't be coincidental, all the things I've prayed for and it's happened. Brother, I believe if you keep on ringing and keep on praying, that the Lord will hear us. I remember years ago, my daughter, and one back there, not the youngest one, and not the middle one. And nothing else would do her, but if she wanted a stupid dog. And all dogs are not stupid, but these kind are. They're called Cocker Spaniel. They're the dumbest dog that the Lord ever created. They really are. I mean, they just kind of sort of like a 14-year-old. That's what they remind me of. And they got them little curly blonde hair, she wanted one of them things. And I made the mistake of giving $50. I paid $50 for a Cocker Spaniel, a little blonde one. It was about big, little puppy. And it was cute, really. I mean, it looked like it had perm in its hair, little blonde hair, and it just went like that, you know. But they're ignorant, honest to the Lord. They're ignorant dogs. They're retarded, every one of them. And she should have got a smart dog, like an English bulldog. She wanted this Cocker Spaniel, and I bought that thing. And we put it in, had a little box, and it was just a little puppy about that big. And that thing, we'd set it out there in the yard, and we went off somewhere. You ought to know better than give money for a dog. You know, if you give money for a dog, something's going to happen to it. You get an old stray dog, and you can't kill it. You can run over it with a car, shoot it, and everything. It lives. It just lives on. But as sure as you pay money for one, something will happen to it. But anyway, paid $50 for it. Boy, she tickled. I forgot what she named that thing. What was it? Huh? Biscuit. That's right. That's the name. Biscuit. That's what color it was. It was the color of a biscuit right out of the oven. So she put that little up there in a box, and it was out there. Well, we went off somewhere one evening, me and the girl. We come back home, and she's about seven years old. And we come up through there, up the driveway. And we got out of the car, and we looked in the box, and the dog wasn't there. I was hoping that she just, wouldn't say nothing about it. Cause, oh, Lord, I don't want to go looking for that thing out here tonight. And she said, "Daddy, Daddy, where's my dog? Daddy, where's my dog?" I said, "Oh, I don't know, honey. He's probably out here playing somewhere." She said, "No, Daddy, where's he at? Daddy, let's go find him." I said, "Honey, he'll be all right." Honestly, I thought, oh, Lord, I don't want to get out there. It was dark. You know, them woods up behind my house. I mean, I thought, oh, my goodness, that stupid thing has went off down the driveway somewhere. She said, "Daddy, please, Daddy, find my dog. Daddy, you've got to find my dog." I said, "All right." I went and got the flashlight. I took the flashlight, and I turned that thing on. I said, "Come on, honey." And I didn't know where to look. We started like that, and I thought we were going to get snake bit. So we started going, and all of a sudden, I heard something. I said, "Listen. Listen," she said, "is that my dog?" I said, "I believe that's it, honey. I hear it." It was going, it's like that. And I said, "Well, come on, baby, let's go find it." And it sounded like that it was up in the woods. Do you know up there in Hoppy Tom, where you got hills like this right here, and you can't really tell where something's coming from. Have you ever tried to find something that's hollering down the holler? Hollering in a holler, L-A-H-A. H-O-L-L-A-R, and it was H-O-L-L-E-R-N-G. And that thing was hollering, and brother, that thing was going, eh! And I said, it's down yonder somewhere, honey, let's go find it. So we took the flashlight and started going up like this, and we was going around trees, and I thought, oh, Lord, there's this copperhead. All right, it's laying here, short girl. We went around, we like that, and briars, you know, and she, I had her by the hand like this, and then she said, where is it? It's in trouble. It's hurt. It's hurt. It's crying. Well, we kept following that sound, wound up right down at my neighbor's house. I could have just walked down the driveway. I couldn't tell where it's coming from. We went down the driveway and went down there, and I said, honey, I hear it. I hear it. And they lived in a trailer and had an underpinning, you know, like metal underpinning, and had a little door there. And I kept hearing it around. I said, it sounds like it's underneath there somewhere. And they'd wandered down there, and they'd got it, stuck it up under the house and locked it up because they knew somebody owned it. And they had a little door closed, and there's about that much room up there at the top of the door, and it was going, ah! All you could see is its tongue going, ah! Like it right there, about that much room. I said, there is. And I grabbed that door like that, and I put it on my shoulder. And boy, she smiled. And I said, okay, biscuits all right. Everything's all right. And we started back up the driveway. And I had that thing on my shoulder and had her by the hand. And it quietened down then. And everything lived happily ever after. I run over it. But that's another story. That's another story. But anyway, well, that day it got rescued. I got to think about that. I got to think about that one time. And I said, and while I was walking up the driveway, way, the Lord began to deal with my heart, really. You know, if you're a preacher, everything's an illustration. Everything got a spiritual meaning to it. And I always think like that. And I was walking up the driveway, and the Lord said, that's just like you do, Danny. He said, that's just like people. And I said, you know what? That's right. A lot of times we're in God's will, listening to me, and we're doing real good, and we wander off. We get over here and get into something we shouldn't be into. Or we do something stupid. Can you say amen right there? And then the devil gets us and locks us up and we're in trouble. And brother, there ain't but one thing to do then. And that's just, and brother, I'm going to act till he comes and gets me. I don't know about you. If that dog would have shut up, I'd have never knew where it was. If it had barked one time, I'd have never knew. But he kept on hollering and kept on hollering till I went and got him. And kid of this morning, parents here, you got problems, marriage troubles, financial trouble. Get in this altar. Keep on crying until God comes and gets you. Put you on his shoulder and put you back where you need to be. You know what about some of you people? You're too lazy to serve God. You're too lazy to bark till he comes and gets you. Amen. You'll whine a couple of times. The Lord don't jump. You just say, waller and sin. Say, heck with it. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, brother. We need to put in a 911 call to God and say, dear God, I'm not giving up. I don't know about you, but I'm putting one in for the camp meeting. I'm saying, Lord! It's an emergency. We've got to have your help. We've got to have you. And you know what the Lord will say? Is that Danny I hear down there? I hear him down there somewhere. I'm just going to come down there and put him where he needs to be. Amen. I thought about this coming home this morning. I was driving up that interstate. We come down 95 down from Richmond, Virginia. Turns into 85. 85 finally comes into 40 down yonder near Chapel Hill somewhere. And we was coming this way. And I got to thinking about my, how we need to cry until the Lord comes. You listen to me? Joseph Stalin, a founder of communism, said, quote, if we can effectively kill the national pride, listen, this is Michael Moore, Howard Stern, Hollywood, if we can effectively kill the national pride and patriotism of just one generation, we will have won that nation. And there is an onslaught in this country to kill national pride and our patriotism. They don't even want kids to know. I mean, I was just near Washington, D.C. all this weekend. They don't want kids to honor our country. They get on TV, they're blaming. Did you hear somebody the other day? Blaming President Bush for the situation down there in New Orleans, like it's his fault. I mean, how dumb can you get? I mean, how ignorant can a person get? You know what? They'll do anything they can to slam the government or our nation or say we hate America. I like what Ed McAtee used to say. He used to say, if you don't love this country and you don't love that flag, we'll take you up an offer and buy you a one-way ticket wherever you want to live, brother. There's thousands of places out there you can go. Move to Aruba, brother. Have fun, and we'll see you in Judgment Day. Brother, listen, we've got to do something. We've got to do something. They said, oh, Ann Landers, when she was still kicking, got 14,000 letters a day, a week, all of them having problems. You look out your window, you see trouble everywhere. We're in a crisis because we've thrown the Bible out. We're living in a Babylonian society. The emphasis is on the senses and the sensual. And all the old codes have been broken down. Foul has become fair. Fair has become foul. Right has become wrong. And vice versa, and all twisted up. Newt Gingrich said this, quote, he said, it's impossible to maintain civilization with 12-year-old girls having babies, 15-year-olds killing each other and murder parents, 17-year-olds dying with AIDS, 18-year-olds getting diplomas from high school that they can't even read. He said, our civilization is decaying. He said, our society is rotting right out from under our noses. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen here this morning, I'm standing in front of you on 9/11, September the 11th, 2005, saying, if God's people, which are called by His name, the world ain't going to change, the government's not going to get us out of the mess we're in, if God's people like me and you, don't get on our prayer bones and call God once again, until God comes, there is no hope for this generation you and I are living in. And I'll give you some facts. We are killing 4,000 babies a day in this nation. More people than died on 9/11, 2000, something like that. We're killing double that every day and paying doctors to do it. I don't care if you get mad or not. I'm saying, if you're a visitor here and you say, I don't think a preacher ought to say nothing about that, that shows how much you know about preaching. You're about half crazy. Brother, listen, if a mother's with a doctor and pays a doctor $300, $400, $500, whatever it is, I don't know how much it is, to kill that baby, we are murdering 4,000 a day. We're murdering 1.5 million a year. We've got good people all over the country that want babies and can't have them and would love to have a child and raise them. But brother, our emphasis is me, 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 I. I don't care. I don't want this little brat. I made a mistake. We got people who want all the privileges of married life but don't know none of the responsibilities of married life. We're murdering babies. They ain't got enough guts to say it on TV. I mean, why don't MTV show a real abortion? Reality TV, really. I mean, they're always showing. Why don't they put one on VH1 and say, this is what it is? Why don't they show a hospital down the under, near Charlotte, with trash can full of little arms and legs every day, just a normal day of business? And they said, did you know, if a doctor performs an abortion on a woman, and that baby is still alive and lives through the abortion, which does happen sometimes, there's methods, and they go ahead and kill it, that it's murder? Did you know Scott Peterson's in prison right now for a double homicide, and one of those murders is an unborn baby? And then them hypocrites will get right on the news and say, well, it's a fetus until it's born. You mean it changes from a fetus to a human being the second it comes from the mother's womb? No, sir, brother. They don't have enough guts to face the truth. If it's a baby here, it's a baby there. If it's a baby right here, it's a baby over here. If it's a baby when you lay it on the table, it's a baby right before it lays on the table. Now, I'm telling you this, ladies and gentlemen, God will require the blood of 35 million babies that's been murdered in this country by abortion. We are in trouble. The blood of them little innocent babies cries out, help us, Lord! Help us, Lord! And I'm telling you, we're in trouble. Listen, it ain't no accident that we've had more hurricanes this year than we've ever had. It ain't no accident that a storm hit New Orleans like ain't never hit this country before. It ain't no accident that gas is nearly $4 a gallon out there last week. God's trying to tell us something. God's trying to speak to people. We need to get on our hearts right with God and get on our prayer bones and quit fooling around and get a call into God for some help. Amen. And I'm telling you, the whole nation needs to hear what I'm preaching this morning. And they'd turn me off. They don't want to hear it. They say, get out of here. It's an accident. It's Mother Nature. We'll get through it. They will not hear what God has to say about it. Students spend $5.5 billion a year on alcohol. More than they spend on all their books and studies combined. Students do. Alcohol kills 100,000 at least Americans every year. We're a nation that's given to pleasure. 300,000 people die every year in this country. 300,000 just from eating too much, overweight. We waste enough food in this country. We waste enough food. 44% of our eating is eaten out in restaurants. And brother, we waste enough food in this country to clothe some other countries. We waste the average family. You're at your house got enough food in your trash can on a daily basis to feed some families in this world. I'm telling you, kids, our priorities are all out of whack. Kids, mom and daddy make sure them kids go to ball games and ball practice and cheerleading practice. But when it comes to the house of God, let them lay in the bed and not even get up and come to the house of the Lord. Kids can't read, but they know how to remote. They control them video games. Did you know this morning that you are what you eat physically and you are what you see and hear spiritually? Do you realize that adult women average 30 hours a week in front of a television set? That's a brainwashing technique. 30 hours a week. Anything you do, 30 hours a week. If you studied the Koran, if you studied physical fitness, if you studied having to grow flowers, if you studied, brother, anything you do 30 hours a week is going to shape your thinking. And brother, television is designed from Hollywood to turn your thinking away from God. The girl tonight was telling me on the way home about that movie that old Keanu Reeves made and how it's about hell don't want him, heaven can't keep him, or whatever. And boy, they're saying that movie, they said if you watch that movie, it'll mess up your thinking. You won't even know how to choose right and wrong. Got the Antichrist. Got all them old demon movies from Hollywood. They'll twist people's thinking. Steven Spielberg and that crowd are inspired by the devil to come up with that stuff to mess up people's mind. Ages 2 to 11 averages 25 hours a week that in front of the TV. 2 to 11 years old. That's the worst babysitter you could possibly have. Adult men average 24 hours a week watching TV. Teenagers average over 20 hours a week in front of a television. People are addicted without it. I mean, 95% of the cases when the TV is tore up, a repairman is at the house within 24 hours. I've been in people's house where the front steps was tore up. I've been in where you had to do like this to get in the house. And I've seen one place where there's a dead cat laid on the porch for several weeks. We go there on bus route, and it's still laying there every Saturday. But son, that TV tires up. They'll make sure that thing's replaced. They'll go borrow one from Mama. Say amen right there. They'll make sure, buddy, I tell you what, we'll make sure this old flesh gets what it wants, don't we? We'll pick this flesh, and listen, brother, we'll do that. People are addicted. I'm telling you, they try. If you don't believe it, turn yours off for 2 weeks and watch yourself go into DT. You will spend 7 solid years of your life watching TV. TV reaches 95% of the homes. It's on 7 hours a day. By the time a child goes through adolescence, he has spent twice as much time in front of a TV than sitting at his school desk. Twice as much. By the time he's 5, by the time a child is 5 years old, he spent more time in front of TV than the average student in a liberal arts college spends in 4 years of college. And we wonder why our kids don't respect church and are bored with the Bible. They're being brainwashed not to think about God. Boy, y'all are awful quiet on me this morning. I'm not saying it's sin to have a TV. I got one myself. But brother, learn that thing. You cannot let that thing control you. Some of y'all, you got time to watch TV every day, but you don't have time to read your Bible. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You need a 911 call. You're in an emergency. You're in a state of emergency. You say, God, how many, if you don't think the devil will get your kids while you ain't paying attention, while you're half backslid, brother, you mark it down. The devil's working 24 hours a day. We can't let him get ahead. We can't slack up. We can't let up. I'm determined, boy, I'm going to preach it. I'm going to stand on it. By the grace of God, brother, I'm going to try to tell somebody, this is right, the devil's wrong. We better get a hold of God while we got a chance. We spend $7 billion a year on video games. We spend $300 million a day on clothes in this country. We spend more money on flea medicine and dog food for our pets than we put in church. True. The White House, all the way to the schoolhouse. In the church house. Preachers have become spineless cowards. One poll said 40% of the preachers don't even preach hell no more. The other 60% seldom do. I'd rather be hell scared than hell scorched. How long has it been since you turned the TV on and heard a TV preacher preach 30 minutes on nothing but hell fire? So they said, well, we don't believe in all that old controversial, scary stuff. We just follow Jesus. Jesus Christ is the man who invented the term hellfire. They claimed to follow Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount, he said, hellfire. He said, hellfire. Hellfire! And I'm telling you kids this morning, there is still a hellfire. And you'll go there if you're not saved. I don't care how sweet you are. I don't care how innocent you feel. You will go to hell if you're not saved when you die without God. I know it's old-fashioned, but cornbread is too. It's still good. The current theological trend is a mutilated Bible and a minimized sin, a deified man, and a humanized Christ. Adapt or fail. I was tired when I started, but I feel pretty good right now. I think I had a nightmare or something, somewhere in between 6 and 7:30. But I woke up this morning, I thought, Lord, if we don't get some help from you, what's going to happen to these kids growing up? What's the world going to be like in 20 years if the Lord don't come? That's a scary thought. Preachers are forced to go along with the crowd and just give in. Let the old people pat them on the back on Sunday morning and the kids rock out on Sunday evening. One preacher was called to be with a dying person in their last few minutes and he made the statement when the person finally died, I sure am glad they didn't want to talk about the afterlife. A preacher. It's better to be old-fashioned than right than up-to-date than wrong. We'll never, ever turn worldly men and women to the city of God by traveling halfway to Vanity Fair with them. We should be saying, the Lord is on my side. We should be asking, are we on His side? Our destiny is not in the hands of men. We're like a man with cancer. We're terminally ill. And our 911 call should be, Lord, come and get it. Just like that little dog hollered. Till I come and got it. I think I got this off the internet. Miss Tammy gave it to my daughter the other day. She gave it to me. This is a little poem written by a teenage girl. Now, I know we're all sitting in here this morning. Most of us were saved and sane in our right minds. I don't know what it feels like to be on drugs and all that. But I know one thing, buddy. They thousands. Every time you pick up a paper, they've busted one of these meth labs. It's sweeping the country. It's everywhere. And a teenage girl wrote this poem that I'm getting ready to read to you. And I'll be through. There are thousands like this, girls, that y'all go to school with. They're out there this morning. Their life's miserable. She says this. This is crystal meth, the drug, talking to you. I destroy homes. I tear families apart. I take your children. And that's just a start. I'm more costly than diamonds, more precious than gold. The sorrow I bring is a sight to behold. This girl was in jail on drug charges. If you need me, remember, I'm easily found. I live all around you, in schools, in your town. I live with the rich, I live with the poor. I live down the street, or maybe next door. I meet in a lab, but not like you think. I can be made right in your kitchen sink, in your child's closet, or even in the woods. If this scares you to death, well, it certainly should. The crimes you'll commit for my narcotic charms will be worth the pleasure you've in your arms. You'll lie to your mother. You'll steal from your dad. When you see their tears, you should feel sad. But you'll forget your morals and how you was raised. I'll be your conscience. I'll teach you my ways. I take parents and parents from their kids. I turn from people from God and you act like you're stupid. I'll take everything from you, your looks, your pride. I'll be always with you, right by your side. You'll give up everything. Your family, your home, your friends, your money. And then you'll be all alone. I'll take and I'll take till you have nothing more to give. And when I'm finished with you, you'll be lucky to live. If you try me, be warned. This is no game. I've given the chance. I'll drive you insane. I'll ravish your body. I'll control your mind. I'll own you completely. Your soul will be mine. The nightmares I led, the voices you'll hear from inside your head. The sweats, the shakes, the visions you'll see. I want you to know these are all little gifts from me. But then it's too late, and you'll know in your heart you are mine, and we'll never part. You'll regret that you tried me. We always do. But you came to me, not I to you. You knew this would happen. Many times you were told, but you challenged my power and chose to be bold. You could have said no and just walked away. If you could live that day over, now what would you say? I'll be your master. You'll be my slave. I'll even go with you when you go to your grave. Now that you've met me, what will you do? Will you try me or not? It's all up to you. I could bring you more misery than words can tell. Come take my hand. Let me lead you to hell. The girl who wrote that song, her poem, they found her a few days later, dead. She was released from jail. Not long after, found her dead one morning with the needle still in her arms. It got her. There's 118 kids on them buses this morning. Sing up, brother. And you would be shocked if we knew what kids had seen and been around what they've already tried. The world is going to hell 90 miles an hour. And I'm calling on our church this morning to call. Lord, this poor man cried, Lord, help us, God. 911, this is an emergency. I've got to have help. Let's stand by here for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.